Hi, I am Matthias Yakhtis from Chronosphere. I'm going to talk about Butterfest today. So, two questions for you. Who here has a laptop with them just right now? Show of hands. Okay, leave your hands up if you know what the file system is on your laptop right now. Did anyone put, I don't think anyone put their hands down, so my friends. The very brief outline for the talk, I'm going to talk how my company cut our storage cost by 74% over the last 18 months of onboarding ButterFS, and how we productionized it in the company and in the Google Cloud platform. Just a little bit of business context. Chronosphere is a company selling observability software as a service. It's a software observability software as a service, which is selling, among other things, telemetry, so metrics. We do store a lot of time series data, and we have some big customers that we run thousands of database servers per customer, and each disk of the database server is at least 1 terabyte in size. So there are usually more than a terabyte, but that rounds to some petabytes stored in Google Cloud platform. In mid-2025, all of it was on EXT4. At some point, we started thinking, what could BetterFS have to do with it? One, it's compression. It can save a lot of disk space, and compression is fully transparent, as I'll show you in the demo soon. And checksums in ButterFS can save on CPU cycles as well and application complexity. Just to ground this into reality a bit, I'll show you the demo of inline of ButterFS compression on my laptop. So I have sacrificed I've sacrificed 256 of my disk of a partition for ButterFS. So there is a file system there. I'll just mount it. Right. So here, I used the wrong arguments. You'll just see why. I am mounting the partition for ButterFS on a directory, and I'm telling ButterFS to compress it with the standard compression algorithm. And I have a dump of English Wikipedia, first billion bytes of English Wikipedia snapshot from about 20 years ago. To be pedantic, it's 1 gigabyte in SI units, and in slang that would be 954 megs. What does this English Wikipedia look like? It is an XML document, so a lot of text. There's useful stuff in this XML document, like let's grab for FOSDEM. Let's try to search for a string FOSDEM there. We can see the search works. And who knew until today that FOSDEM is Free Open Source Software Developers European Meeting? I kind of knew, but now I do know. It's from Wikipedia from 20 years ago. Important things here. We can see that the file is almost a gigabyte, like it's a gig of data. We can read it with cat, grep, and etc. We can open it with a text editor. Seems like a regular file. But what's interesting about this file that it is stored compressed. So we can see that it uses 340 megs on disk. So about a third. This is like a 2 terabyte disk. If I only stored English Wikipedias here, or just Wikipedias, I would be able to use to store 3x of them and would not have to change anything else. So it's transparent compression. The applications that read it do not see that they need to uncompress it or compress it. For regular desktop, since all of my laptop is on ButterFS, we will see that it is compressing not only text data, but things like program data. So we'll get back to this in a minute or so. So I just show you the demo where we show transparent compression. On Wikipedia, it was around 60%. Around 60% compression. And, no, that was 65%. 35%, so that's 65 compressed. So we used a third of the disk. So this is exactly, when we looked at ButterFS over a year ago, we initial tests with the production data in Chronosphere, with the telemetry production data, showed that just if we move the data from EXT4 to ButterFS with transparent compression, we cut the disk cost by a third. Sorry, by two-thirds. So we are down to the, minus 65%. This was huge, but once I... It's a lot of, a lot of petabytes multiplied by... It could be a huge savings. But immediately what jumped into my mind is the bad reputation from the past. If you saw my speaker bio, I tried to use ButterFS 10, 15 years ago, and it ate the data. And it was... I still remember that. But I have used ButterFS over also recently, and it didn't. So the first question is, okay, the savings are significant, they're interesting, but the reputation problem is there. And if you look on the internet, even today, there are people reporting data loss or just unable to configure it or other problems. It's all over the place. But there was one specific talk in OSCon 2020, which was documented by Linux Weekly News, by Josef Batzik from Facebook, a kernel developer from Facebook working on ButterFS, and he was explaining how Facebook maintains and uses ButterFS on their millions of servers. And this talk was really a confidence booster that this is something that could actually work outside of my laptop, broader for the company. With the projected possible savings and this anecdote and talk from Facebook, we decided to have a better look, to evaluate it actually, see if it could work and reduce our bill. So once we started looking at that, there were a few known unknowns that we knew that we'll have to go over. First, confidence and reputation. I just talked about it. The talk mostly mitigated that while talking to my peers in the company. ButterFS is infamous. The other thing is ButterFS is infamous about reporting disk space, like how much there's disk space remaining, because it manages the way it lays out files differently than other file systems. But this can be mitigated, and it's pretty well documented. If you're interested, you can look up those terms, background reclaim threshold and dynamic reclaim. It's fine. You have to know what you're doing. You have to do it differently. But you can know how much space you actually have remaining. Also, ButterFS, there was no mention of ButterFS at Google. Since Chronosphere is on Google, it could be... This is something that needed to be looked at. It could be that it actually did not work. Somebody tried and said, no, this is not working on our offering. Or nobody just implemented. Nobody bothered. Another thing, we've been using EXT4 for the last decade on this database. We knew how it behaved. We knew it performed well enough. Since ButterFS is completely different, we didn't know how it will react on a database workload. And there were issues. We'll get into that. We knew that there are unknown unknowns, something that we didn't know that will not work before we started the project. That happened too. So I told you about the known unknowns. We figured them out, and then I'll give a few that I think are the most interesting ones. The title of the one surprise is reclaim, the ButterFS term for defragmentation. It's causing a massive I/O spike on large delete. My colleague Faustas gave permission to share this graph from a production outage a few months ago, And this is a commit log queue size. You can see it grew a lot. And this was a user customer visible outage. Why did that? So this showed that database clusters, one line is one database server, that it was overloaded. It was not able to flush writes on time, so it was not accepting. It was delaying writes. And the problem here, the root cause for this, is read ahead. For the last one, that was not read ahead. That was a balancing, a reclaim, which I talked about before, which we have toggles now. The other one is read ahead. This is a screenshot from another outage, which I don't have chat sessions for, but we have database graphs for. This graph on the right is the database, the P99 database latency, which is usually a few milliseconds. And at some point, they spiked to multiple seconds. So this was user-visible query degradation. They were not able to see some of the queries. And if we looked at the disk graphs, we could see that the disk throughput was flattened out at the top. So disk was overloaded. And why is that? There are two read-ahead settings on Linux, conveniently, named the same way. Anyone here can tell the difference? No hands? Oh, there's one hand. Yeah, shout it out, I'll repeat it. Yeah. They said they're different places, yes. So the difference is 32x. So the first one is block level. So if a kernel sees that you're reading a block, it will prefetch up to 128 kilobytes from the same, from the disk. But ButterFS is smarter. If you're reading a large file, if you start reading the large file, it will prefetch up to 4 megs from the point that you're reading. So this alone could cause 32x read amplification. So you're reading, even though you may not be using it, but it will still fetch it from the disk. And this was exactly what we saw in the graph. It was prefetching a lot of stuff for the files that it didn't actually use. So once this is a configurable toggle. We moved the 4 megs to 128, and all was well. I'll skip the timeline. So we started the project in June, and we finished it at the end of last year. And takeaways. Our disk savings, instead of 65% predicted, were 74%. ButterFS is now available in upstream Google Cloud Platform via the infrastructure that runs Google-managed Kubernetes. We as Chronosphere, are planning to go full upstream in the next 1 or 2 months. And besides Facebook, who were very open about their ButterFS use, now you have another company to refer to that are using ButterFS in production with quite a lot of data. Special thanks to Boris Burkov and Yosef Batsik for Reclaim, for managing the Reclaim, making our lives easier to manage the cluster, and for spreading the word. The talk was a game changer. The talk that I mentioned before was a game changer to adopt it. Thanks to all of ButterFS maintainers and the Google Cloud Platform internal champions who championed ButterFS and made it work on their end. That's all from me.
Yeah, we still have a few minutes for questions.
Last time I've checked, ButterFS usually got a lot worse performance numbers in terms of throughput compared to X4. What's your experience with that?
Yes. In our workload, that was really favorable, and there was no visible difference at all for latency and throughput.
And what's the size of your Nix store? So you ran the command like...
Oh, yeah. 60%, so 40% savings.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you for your talk. So I'm a big ZFS fan, and there's this thing called opportunistic compression, where it's not going to bother compressing the rest while writing if it doesn't detect any savings. I don't know if Butter does that as well.
Yes. So it looks, the question, yeah, it will look at the beginning of the file and it will determine whether it's worth compressing, and it will either do it or not. There's another one behind you.
Have you ventured into ButterFS RAID support with RAID 5 and 6?
We did not find the need for this, so I did not test it.
Hi. How are you managing F-allocated files that are uncompressible, usually created by database like Postgre and other?
So you asked about file locate, right?
Yeah, it's yes. Broken on ButterFS.
So in our data, since I'm on the database team, we control the code that writes to the disk, so we don't file locate. And that's it. I think you can also turn it off, but that could be...
What is the main reason why you choose ButterFS for servers for server usage instead of ZFS, which is usually more popular and
it's much easier. Yeah, the question is why ButterFS, not ZFS. Basically, upstream support. You get it in the kernel right there. There's a lot of tooling already in place for ButterFS for those user space parts like the container storage interface. It's a much tougher sell for a larger company to use ZFS because of the licensing and non-upstream status. With ButterFS, it's pretty straightforward if you can prove that it will work technically.
Are you using the snapshot features of ButterFS at all?
Can you repeat the
snapshots and the revert features or any of the more interesting bits from a normal system usage of it? Or is it just file system that is...
Right now, no. We have just finished moving everything. So we're not using the advanced features, just checksumming. We have disabled some of the application checksums, which we knew we could disable, and everything else is just a dumb database.
So I'm wondering, on ButterFS, the copy-on-write behavior has the reputation to not work very well with databases, and I was wondering what database engine do you use on ButterFS?
So we use M3DB, which is our fork of open source M3DB. So we wrote it. And then because of the nature of the database, we don't use a lot of splicing in the middle of the file. That's why it's a really good fit. But I acknowledge it doesn't work for every database. But it just worked really well for us.
You said that the checksumming will simplify your applications. How?
Yeah, so we don't do it. That's it. It's in some cases we don't have to do the checksumming, so it saves off the CPU. Well, the checksum is still happening just in the kernel, but it's not happening as frequently because it's in our case it's easier to control. Like we don't have to do as much checksums as we needed to because we know that what we wrote we get out as long as before it goes out of the network.
You are planning to do deduplication?
Deduplication? Can you elaborate?
You know the feature of deduplication,
yeah.
But first...
For the header, for yeah. Metadata.
Do you see an advantage for your setup?
In this case, for Google's persistent disk, there is no need to deduplicate anything because they're reliable enough. If we ran on our disks, then that would be a different thing.
Hi. Thank you for your talk. Do you use the send and receive features of ButterFS for backup?
I can't hear or see.
Yeah, here, sorry.
Yes.
Thanks for the talk. Do you use the send and receive features of ButterFS?
We tried them, but for our case, the CPU overhead was prohibitively... It was faster to do something else. Like, it didn't help. throughput increased, but it still took a lot of CPU. I didn't
prepare for the next speaker. Warm applause. Thank you very much. Arthur Labeille.